Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Jimmy Page. He's a speaker, a writer, trainer, leadership coach. He currently serves as the West Divisional Vice President for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And among the books he has written is one co-authored with Dan Britton, and this one's called Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Welcome to Life Quest.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Why this book at this time?
Well, there's probably never been a more important time in my life that we need wisdom for the decisions that we're making in our families, in our communities, in our country, and in our world. You know, I think that so many people seem to be walking around aimlessly. And Dan and I have been determined for many, many years to try and apply God's truth and God's principles to everyday life. And in doing that, it really gives you confidence. It gives you an assurance. It gives you peace. You know, and it gives you direction for your life rather than this haphazard journey that so many people seem to be on.
There are a lot of decisions that we have to make daily, aren't there? Just in normal life, but this isn't always normal times.
Oh, my goodness. So true, right? I mean, you're making decisions about the career that you might be in, the job that you're working in. You've got, you know, if you have kids, you know how many decisions you're making there. So you really need, you know, and I think that's the beauty of what God has done by giving us the Bible, by giving us His Word and His Holy Spirit. He's given us the ability to tap into a direction for life manual. You know, so when we talk about wisdom, wisdom is actually skilled living. You know, it's being able to apply principles and knowledge, what you know to be true, to the very situations that you're facing. So decision-making actually becomes easier when you know the way, when you know the principles of God. It becomes much, much easier.
You know, there's 52 sections to this book of yours, and I just began to go through it, and I stopped at the second one, which is be the person you want others to become. And then you use 1 Corinthians 4:16, which I think is very interesting. I urge you to imitate me, St. Paul says. Unpack that a little bit for us.
Well, this is a big challenge, right? I mean, it's easy for us to consider God saying, hey, imitate me. You know, I've given you the roadmap. I've given you the model of Jesus. But this specific passage is Paul saying, hey, no, I want you to imitate me as I walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. So as I model my life and make decisions in my life around God's principles, I want you to watch what you see. I want you to see my life. Take a look at it. And then I want you to do the things that you see me doing. Say the things you hear me saying. And that is such a challenge for me and I think for others because we feel unworthy. You know, we don't feel like we want really other people to watch our lives. And that's a challenge to us, isn't it? To live with integrity and to make good decisions because we know that other people are watching us. This is a kind of an accountability call from Paul saying, hey, watch my life, and when you do, you're going to see someone who is diligently pursuing God's best, and a life of obedience and power. So when we say, hey, you know, be the person you want others to become, it's a challenge for each one of us to grow, to become, you know, exactly who God made us to be.
And sometimes that concept, Jimmy, makes us feel uncomfortable because we like people to look at God. We're not sure we like the scrutiny of people who know that we declare our Christian faith.
No question. In fact, it's part of the reason why people don't put the fish on their car because they don't want people to critique how they drive or, you know.
Right.
But I think all the more reason to put, you know, to be obvious about your faith, all the more reason to be bold in your testimony, because in your boldness, in showing others and telling others that you are a Christian, there's this built-in accountability, and I personally like that challenge. Mm-hmm. There's times when I wish maybe people didn't know because I'm embarrassed by a behavior, but it is a good correction point to say, oh, I'm still representing God. I need to respond without anger, for example.
Yeah.
I need to respond with grace and mercy. So it's a great checkpoint for how you're living.
It really is. And that leads me to actually section 9, in which you say, pay attention to God's warnings. And they are always there, aren't they? But we sometimes deliberately or casually ignore them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I love this one, right? Because the example that we give in the book is about rumble strips.
Yes.
And, you know, we've all been, if you drive a car, you've all been on a highway or a road where you've got those rumble strips. And we all hate them, right?
Yeah.
Because it shakes the car. If you go outside of the lines on the road, it shakes the car all the way through to your steering wheel, and it jolts you a bit. But, you know, setting up those rumble strips, they're there for a reason. They're used as a warning that if you continue on the path that you're going, you are likely to experience destruction. Some type of danger is ahead, and it wakes you up to keep you back, you know, get you back on track. So I like to put my own rumble strips in my life. I like to look at a situation in advance and to put up those limitations on my life to make sure that I don't derail myself with some, disappointing decision or something that maybe gets me out of bounds, so to speak.
And when we look back, and I think that we often need to look back on our life and our choices and things like that, we can see where we had the opportunity to do something different that we're not happy with now.
Yeah, no question. You know, question, because, and you know, everything leaves clues, right? So if we look back on our history, we can see with better vision sometimes. Sometimes, you know, vision 2020 is always very, very clear
when
you're looking back. But we need to learn from those mistakes, right? We need to learn from the mistakes that we made. They don't define us. You know, we talk about failure being nothing, you know, that failure is just an opportunity to grow. Failure is an opportunity to become your best, to learn from those mistakes. You know, and we've often said this to our kids, you know, you're either going to win or learn. It's not win or lose. It's going to be win or learn. You're going to make some decisions that lead to blessing and benefit in your life and to others. And some decisions you're going to make are going to be those mistakes. The key, then, is to learn from those mistakes and to let God refine you into the person you're made to be.
And this kind of ties in with another section here, in which you say guard yourself because temptation lurks. And I remember there's a passage in the scripture that says God will provide a way of escape. Sometimes we see that escape, but ignore it. And so as a consequence, keeping our consciences sharp, because they can mellow out, can't they?
Yeah, you know, I think so often we kind of get lulled into this place of complacency where life is kind of okay, it's good, things seem to be progressing, but we forget the fact that we have an enemy, and we forget the fact that we have a sin nature that that can lead us into these areas of temptation. You know, I want what I want when I want it, you know, and
yes.
We all have a tendency to do that. But if instead we view life as, that there is an enemy and that there is opposition to us living our best life, when we're prepared, when we're ready, then we're able to make better choices when we're faced with those difficult decisions or those temptations.
In section 19, you titled it The Snowball Effect, and it's little things become big things. I mean, both negative little things and positive little things can grow and expand. And of course, Jesus had given some illustrations of that with his parables of a man and his servants that he left in charge of his wealth.
Yes. Little things always become big things, right? Sometimes we think these small decisions that we make or these small compromises that we make really don't amount to much. But what I've discovered in life is the little compromises I make tend to add up over time.
Yeah.
And whenever you lower the bar or lower the expectation, it becomes easier and easier to lower the bar again and make those compromises. So what I've discovered is, those little negative things add up into some big negative things, and they form our character, kind of who we are.
Right.
But on the flip side, and what I love about this is if we're going to be good stewards of everything that God has given us, you know, the path to blessing is marked with consistent, disciplined action and delayed gratification. It's us choosing what's best now over what we might want the most now. And when you make those positive decisions, it actually emboldens you to make the next positive decision. That's why with our kids, we always said, hey, when you stand up for good and right, or when you stand up for a godly principle, or when you stand apart from others who are maybe making bad decisions, that actually fills you with courage, and it emboldens you to make the next good decision.
Yeah.
So that's why those little decisions, they do add up over time.
As you were talking, I was thinking about something that I've noticed in my own life, and that is some things I look back and I realized these were wrong, these were sin. I have asked God for forgiveness. But then they keep coming to our minds, and I had to recognize this wasn't the Holy Spirit. This was the devil accusing me and saying, look at the mistakes you made. There's no hope for you.
Oh, yeah. The devil always wants to keep us in bondage to the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's very good at reminding us of past mistakes, because if he can heap on the guilt and the shame and the heaviness of our past, if we're weighed down by our past, we'll never walk in the freedom that God desires for our future. So when I look back and I feel that heaviness, or I feel that guilt, or I feel some shame for a previous decision, like you said, I always know that that's not from God. God never condemns. He always lifts. He might confront you in order to change you, but it's never to condemn you. So that guilt and shame, once you've dealt with that and you've confessed those mistakes to God, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, God's forgiveness is complete. So he wants us to walk in the newness of that new life on a daily basis. Let go of the past and live in the present with an eye on the future.
Life is a battle, not a playground. There's a text here, James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We don't always resist. We kind of run with open arms. But this resistance has to happen on a daily basis.
It sure does. You got to show up with the right mindset, right? And I think God wants us to live in freedom and with joy, but the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So we know that the enemy is in direct opposition to the kind of life that Jesus has come to give us. John 10:10 says, I have come to give you life and life to the full.
Mm-hmm.
And then right on the heels of that, it says, but the enemy, your adversary,
yes,
is here to steal, kill, and destroy. So we have to go in with this resistance mentality, resisting the attempts and the schemes of the devil, because when we do, when we resist, when we stand against those things, then he flees from us. And that's the promise we receive that you read in James 4, verse 7, is we've got to begin to resist and deny ourselves. You know, we learn in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, you know, if you have a desire to follow me, pick up your cross on a daily basis and walk with me. And I love that picture. On a daily basis, I identify with Jesus, I pick up my cross, and I walk.
In that same section, you said, sometimes it seems as if we respect Satan's power more than the impact and power of Christ.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it, right? So many of us walk around defeated,
yeah,
as though the enemy has some kind of power over us. And part of that's a mindset. It's a renewing of your mind and focusing on the capabilities of God. What kind of power does the living God have in my life? Well, God tells us that the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And he also goes on to say, I've given you everything you need to live a life of godliness. And so that encourages me that I have not been given a spirit of fear or timidity. I've been given a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. So whenever I walk around wounded or defeated, I remind myself of God's word and the truth that he says about the power that's at my disposal to overcome temptation and to make those decisions that are good and godly.
Friends, if you've just tuned in, I'm talking with Jimmy Page, and he is co-author of a book called Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Jimmy, on another program that I produce, I'm going through the Old Testament at this point, and over, we see that the people recognized, yes, God gave them victory over their enemies, and then they all of a sudden start thinking they were the one that provided the victory. And that happens in our own lives. You say, don't steal the glory. Don't be a glory hound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, isn't this true, right? When we need God, we run to God, right? It's like, oh, my gosh, I need help. And
right.
I have these echoes of prayer in my life. When things aren't going my way circumstantially, right, I run to God and I ask God to help. And then when he shows up and he does it, and he does that work inside of me and oftentimes changes my circumstances, then I sit in that position of victory saying, oh, look, you know, it was me. And we want to take credit. And God in Deuteronomy talks a lot about this. He says, you know, hey, don't forget that it was me. It was me in you that allowed you to accumulate wealth, for example, or that blessed you with your family, or gave you good health, or delivered you from my enemies.
Mm-hmm.
It was me. Don't forget, because when you forget, you'll start operating in pride. And as soon as you start operating in pride, God opposes the proud, and now you're not in a very good situation. So, but I think it's human nature to want to take credit when things are going well, you know?
Yes.
And then want God's help when things aren't.
Very good. On principle 37, it's contagious. Make your life worth catching on by other people. You know, and there's another section here that you say, bad news paralyzes, but good news, it energizes.
Oh, yeah, no question, right? I mean, we live in a time of that everything seems to be contagious, right? I mean, we're living in what I would consider a worldwide crisis of sorts, and everyone's so afraid of catching some virus or catching some illness.
Right.
And the truth is that in our lives, we want to be positively contagious. We want to give a good report of what God is doing. And unfortunately, there's so little good news happening, right? There's so little. You have to search for it. In fact, now on Google, you can barely find any good news. So you have to search it. But as believers, we need to talk about the goodness of God all the time. A lot of times we get stuck, just like everybody else, in the bad news doom loop. You know, it's like somebody complains about something or mentions that they're afraid of something, and then it's a pile-on. Oh, the next person says the same thing. And one of the stories in the Bible that I think shows this the most is when God's people, the nation of Israel, was poised to enter the promised land. And if you remember in Numbers 13, you know, Moses sent out the 12 spies, go into the promised land, tell me what it looks like. The 12 went in, 10 came out saying how horrified they were that it was a bad deal. They gave a negative report, and 2 came back. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, no, 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 even though it's going to be challenging, oh, my goodness, this is a good place.
Right.
And, you know, those 10 overwhelmed the 2. The fear of the 10 spread through the camp, and the positivity of the 2 was destroyed. And consequently, they wandered around for another 40 years before they entered the promised land. So we have to constantly retrain our minds to think about God's power and his blessing and good news, and kind of, you know, quiet the voices of bad news.
As I was looking at principle 38, going, gone, live light on earth, but hold tight to heaven. There is a balance in here, isn't there? Sometimes people don't think about heavenly things, and that's one contrast. The other is they become so focused on, you know, give me some more insight. I want to have the understanding of prophecy that nobody else does. And they worry about what's going to happen in the last days. But there's a balance here, isn't there?
There is. You know, we have to be effective. And our calling really right now, the reason that God leaves us behind after we get, you know, put our faith in Christ and we're made new and adopted into his family, the reason he leaves us behind is to be salt and light.
Yes.
To be an ambassador for Christ, a representative of God, and to bring God's kingdom, his future kingdom here now. You know, even when Jesus teaches us to pray, he says, you know, bring your kingdom come, and we're to be agents of that. But I think oftentimes we forget that this really isn't our permanent home. Mm. This is a temporary location, you know. And I just heard this yesterday, that when you think this is all there is,
right,
you will hold on so tight and try and control every aspect of your life that you don't have hope for a future.
No.
And you see it playing out in our country even as we speak.
Yes.
Just this is all there is, so we got to hold on tight.
Right.
Bunker down in your home. God forbid you should risk anything. Don't risk anything, because this is all you have. But if instead you have that eternal perspective, you live with a different level of freedom.
Because if you begin to think that this is all it is, that's what it will be.
Yeah.
Again, the book is Wisdom Walks, 52 Life Principles for a Significant and Meaningful Journey. Talking with Jimmy Page. Jimmy, where can our listeners get a copy of this book?
The easiest way to get a copy is on Amazon.com. Just mm-hmm. do a search for Wisdom Walks. Or you can go to wisdomwalks.org, and you've got all kinds of different resources there that will help you in your journey.
Jimmy Page, thanks so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
You bet. My pleasure.
My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.